Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we will conclude a message I've been sharing this week on revelation before impartation. And I'd like to share another dramatic example of how important revelation is before impartation. And we're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And I'm trying to read as little as possible, but just to refresh your memory, the godly King Jehoshaphat was in a terrible situation. He gathered Judah together and he prayed because the armies of Ammon and Moab were against him. And I'll just read a few verses of his prayer. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. See, he's looking to God, but our eyes are upon thee. And it says, Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. And then, see, here we come, the revelation of the Lord. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, came upon him. He was the son of Aphat. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken ye, all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. We need to hear this word for us today, huh? The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord be with you. And they worship before the Lord. Verse 20 says, they rose early in the morning, they went forth into the wilderness, and Jehoshaphat said, hear me, O Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And he consulted with the singers. They began to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. They went out before the army, praised the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They actually destroyed themselves. They didn't have to do anything. Verse 24 says, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils. So there is a beautiful example of revelation before impartation. Instead of just saying, well, let's, you know, gird ourselves up, let's go out to battle. Nope. They said, we don't know what to do, God. We wait upon you. And so Judah looked to God in prayer, and the Spirit of God spoke through a prophet these words of instruction. By obeying them, Judah saw the Lord himself set ambushments against their enemies and utterly destroy them. And this well illustrates the blessings which God pours out when we wait to hear from him. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So going back to the life of Elijah, what happened? He stood still till he saw the salvation of the Lord. In this instance, the eyes of his understanding were enlightened, and he saw God's plan. For example, when he first was responding to the woman's need out of concern, out of desire to see this mother delivered from her grief, the child brought back to life, he sent his servant Gehazi to lay his staff upon the child. But nothing happened. That was coming out of his own heart, his own goodwill. But what we see, let me just share what God does reveal to him. when Elisha came to the house because his mother wanted the person of Elisha to be there. The child was dead, laid upon the bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Many times the Lord would do that when, for example, I think of Peter. He had I think it was James and John with him, and he and the mother and father of this girl that was dead, and when Peter prayed, she was raised to life, that the door was shut from the multitude who were weeping and crying. And so it says, he went up, Elisha did, lay upon the child, sort of an unorthodox way of responding, but it was what God showed him what to do. Put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm, which obviously when someone's dead, the warmth departs from their body. Then he returned, but the child was not alive yet. He walked to and fro in the house and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. So he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and she was come in unto him, and he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took her son and went out. So God did an amazing miracle because he was willing to listen to what God said. In this instance, the eyes of his understanding were indeed enlightened. He saw himself going to the boy, stretching himself upon the dead body, and imparting life to the child, acting in obedience to this seen salvation, what God was showing him in the spirit. Elisha boldly went in and imparted new physical life to the dead child. It was a miracle. Someone brought back from the dead. And this was one thing that made Elisha's ministry, because this was at the early part of his ministry, so different and so unique. In every instance, when a need presented himself, and it might be interesting to just read further on in 2 Kings, Elisha's actions proved that he had actually seen God's salvation for whatever the particular need was. And it wasn't his own logic and intelligence or his well-meaning or his desire to help, but these answers from God came by revelation of the Spirit. And when that revelation came, it brought life. In this case, brought life to a dead child. Everywhere that Elisha ministered, he left the evidence that new life had been imparted. His was a ministry of revelation, not a ministry of dead doctrine, not doing it the way Elisha, his predecessor, did. He was waiting upon God, and that was the principle that God wanted to demonstrate through his life and through his ministry, that we need to wake on God. If we want to see the miracles, we can't look to the past. It's important to appreciate what God has done, but we can't expect him to follow the formulas or the things that God perhaps used in a former time. They were valid for that time. It was the revelation for that particular need, for that particular revival. We have to be willing to see God do a new thing. He's always a God of new beginnings. He's always a God of fresh revelation, fresh impartation, fresh inspiration, which comes from the Spirit of God. He's multifaceted. We can never exhaust. Our little minds are so limited. We love God, but we are so comfortable with formulas of ways of doing things. We just need a handbook for miracles, right? Well, wouldn't we just, the bookshelves, they'd be sold out. But God doesn't allow us to do that. It has to be his way, and his way is seeking him. Who would have expected in Jehoshaphat's case that there had to be a military plan, right? No, that was not what the Spirit of the Lord said through that prophetic word from the prophet. It says, stand still and see the salvation of your God. That's the last thing one would expect when you're compassed about by huge armies who are willing and ready to kill you. But that was the answer for that period of time. That was the answer that God gave. And so Elisha's ministry was very unique. The answers came by revelation of the Spirit, and that revelation brought life. And his was a ministry of revelation, not a ministry of dead doctrine. And it was illustrated by the fact that even though certainly Elijah had used that staff, and that was a sign of leadership. Remember, Moses had a staff. He would use his staff. He'd stretch it out. There were miracles. Well, that was certainly true at one point in time. It worked for Moses. Stretch out your staff across the Red Sea, and it parted. Well, but it didn't work for Elisha, and it couldn't restore life where life was needed. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said in John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. And because Elisha knew this truth by personal revelation, God's Spirit flowed through him to restore or impart life. And God's method of operation is still the same today. Let's pray. In the closing moments, Father, we thank you for this lesson. We ask, Lord, that we shall ever be dependent upon you, upon your revelation. We pray for our lives individually, we'll be led by the Spirit of God, but also for your corporate church body, that we will hear what the Spirit is saying to us in these times. If we can't rely on our logic, our wisdom, we must rely on the Spirit of God. We ask, Father, that you would grant this to us personally and corporately, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Beloved, it's been a joy to minister to you this teaching. And if God could do such great things under the old covenant through Elijah, what greater things has he planned for us? Jesus said, the works that I do, even greater works shall you do, because I go to the Father. Let's pick up that command, that invitation, and do the works that he's called us to do. I love you and praying for miracles in your life, for the work of the enemy to be destroyed, and these shall be set free in joy and liberty of the abundant life. God bless you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.